life. I give you my understanding in the scripture of the book of life. And I think it is important, our view of the book of life. And so we're going to get into it, but first we'll pray. Father, we ask you to guide us now as we look at the book of life. Help us to see what we need to see and understand it in the way that the scripture presents it. Not our own opinion, but what the Word of God says. And we thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I put there in the notes that there are two major false views about the book of life. And the first one is they believe that only the elect, that God only put those who he knew would be saved in the book of life. And therefore, there are many people who would never have any chance to be saved because their names are not in the book of life and they were never put in there and God never intended them to be in there. That's one view. The other view that I believe is an unscriptural view is that it's the only people in the book of life are saved people. That's the only people in the book of life. They're saved people. And if that's the case, then a believer can be blotted out and can lose salvation. So I believe that's a wrong interpretation, too. We're going to look at what the Bible says about the book of life and whose names are in that book. So, first of all, the first wrong interpretation, that just only the elect are in there, is we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God so loved the world. So if he so loved the world, God gave his Son for the world, well then, why would he not put names in the book? Well, some people say because of God's foreknowledge, he knows who will be saved and who wouldn't, so he put the ones in there. Well, no, he loved the world. And so he wanted the world to be saved. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy, that says 2 Timothy there in your notes, but it's actually 1 Timothy 4:10. If you go there, it says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So the Bible is telling us here that God is the Savior of all men. If he wanted all men to be saved, why would he put some in and leave some out? 2 Peter 3:9. If you go back over there and look at that one just quickly here, because we'll move through this pretty quickly. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Revelation 22:17 tells us, whosoever will, let him come. Salvation is for whosoever will come. So, if salvation is for whosoever will come, it seems to me that God would not leave some names out. He wants everyone to be saved. But the foreknowledge of God, you know, he knows who will and he knows who won't. Well, that would be contrary to his will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we have Ephesians chapter 1 and predestination. There are those who believe that predestination is that God predetermined some to be saved, and he predetermined some to be lost. That's predestination in their view in the Bible. But that is not exactly what the Bible says. We're going to look at what the Bible says here just quickly. It says in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, Now, we're chosen in Him. What is we chosen to in Him? It explains it, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Holy and without blame. Are we that way now? No. We can only be that way when we come to the truth of the gospel, and then yet still we have a sin nature. And many times we are not holy and without blame before Him because we have committed some sins. We have to use 1 John 1:9. So it says exactly what we're predestined to in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So we have been adopted, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, that is what took place before the foundation of the world, this predestination unto the adoption of children. The Greek word here for adoption means the placing of a son. So predestination there in the notes is the doctrine of the placing of a son. It's explained further in Romans chapter 8. We can also look in Ephesians on down and see that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. There, verses 11 through 14, over to chapter 4 and verse 30. And then let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Because we could spend all of our time here on predestination, but predestination, the Bible is very clear. It says in Romans 8, verse 23, and not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. That took place in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, old way of saying, this is what I mean, the redemption of our body. So predestination in the Bible, you can look on down there, it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to salvation? No. To be conformed to the image of His Son. 1 John 3:1-2. When He comes, we don't know what we shall be, but we know we'll be like Him. Conformed to the image of His Son. And so it says, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. So what He foreknew was the ones that would be saved, and He made a promise here of predestination. The predestination is that every believer in Jesus Christ will receive a new body. The redemption of our body. Stand before Him holy and without blame. That is predestination in the Bible. You can check me out on that and study. Look at predestination. Look at it close. Nothing mentioned about some be saved, some be lost. It's get a new body. That's predestination. God determined that all that He knew would come to Christ, foreknew, would get a new body. Every believer is predestined to receive a new body. So this first thing of that only the elect are in there cannot be true, because God wants the whole world to be saved. He didn't predestinate some to heaven and some to hell. He did not want some to be saved and some to be lost. He wanted everybody to be saved. That was what God's desire was. But He leaves it up to us. We have to make that choice, either to receive or not to receive. The second interpretation is wrong, Because a believer, if it's true, a believer could lose his salvation. And that's not taught in Scripture. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And then we go to John chapter 3, verse 16, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus told the woman at the well, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And of course, John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then back to chapter 6 there in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that's verse 40. And verse 47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Very clear there. And John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So those verses make it very clear that we have eternal life, and we could spend a lot more time there too tonight, take the rest of the time looking at eternal salvation. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation, the Bible tells us. They shall never perish. Eternal life and everlasting life, as it's presented, eternal and everlasting in the Scripture, cannot end. If it's everlasting, it can end, or it was never had. If Jesus has given me everlasting life, then it can't end. If it did end, I didn't get it. Once you got it, you have everlasting life. And 6:35 there of John says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You remember what he told Martha there in John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, made the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if a saved person could lose their salvation, then Jesus lied. If he lied, he's not the Savior. We know he is, and he doesn't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and Titus 3, 5, and 6, we know those verses that teach us that salvation is not of works. It's not of works. And salvation cannot be gained or kept by works. So those first two interpretations, they can't fit in. They cause conflict. If you believe the Book of Life, that only the elect are written in there, then you have some conflict with why, when Jesus loved the world and was willing for, wanted the world to be saved, and he's the Savior of all men, why wouldn't he write them all in? Why wouldn't he put the name of every person who would ever live in the Book of Life? So then, what about this Book of Life? Doesn't the Bible clearly say names are blotted out? Yes, it does. And we go to Revelation chapter 20, and we read that there are other books that are mentioned there besides the Book of Life, but it is the Book of Life that determines where a person will spend eternity in the lake, that they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, there's these other books that are mentioned, and it says, according to their works. Look at verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were open. And another book was open, which is the Book of Life. So there's these other books, and it says, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Well, we know from Luke chapter 12 and verse 47 that the person who knew God's will and didn't do it will be beaten with many stripes, and the one who didn't will be beaten with few stripes. And in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees, who were hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, will receive greater damnation. So we know the books, these other books, a person will be judged at the great white throne judgment and determined the degree of their punishment. Some will not suffer in the lake of fire as greatly as others do, according to the scripture. Be degrees of punishment. Just as there will be degrees of rewards in heaven, for at the judgment seat of Christ, where the believer is judged, and we will serve in the millennial reign based upon our faithfulness here. Rewards will be given out. There's many crowns that can be won. So, let's look at these scriptures on the Book of Life, where it's mentioned in the scripture, and draw some conclusions from these. We go first of all to Exodus 32, where the children of Israel, as usual, had sinned against God. And in Ezekiel 32 and verse 33, Moses now in verse 32 says, now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Well, those who sin against the Lord will be blotted out. As I put in the notes, we have all sinned against the Lord. So does that mean we're all going to be blotted out? Because we've all sinned. Romans 3:23. We have sinned against Him. That's one thing we have to admit. In Acts chapter 20 there. We've sinned against God. And then put faith in Christ. Even Moses was a sinner. So Jesus must be referring to something else. And when we go to John chapter 3, now notice that Moses here in Exodus was concerned that the children of Israel's names would be blotted out. Well, we know from reading Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, they were unbelievers. But apparently from the context, their names must have been in the book. Because Moses is concerned about, don't blot their names, blot mine out. And so we go back here to John chapter 3. Quit talking and get over there. John chapter 3 and verse 17. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, in the context there in Exodus, it appears that those people who were not believers, their names were in the book, and Moses is concerned that the Lord would not blot them out of his book. Well, let's move on. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 14. Let me alone that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Saying that to Moses again. And here, the children of Israel has sinned again. And we know from reading Hebrews 3 and 4 that they could not enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. So it appears in the context that their name is in the book of life. Let's go to chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse 20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Again in the context, talking about a lost man. Blotting out his name. Psalm 69, verse 28. You got to keep your thinking cap on here, and don't get lost somewhere. Stick with me, and you'll see the point that I'm trying to make here. Psalm 69 and verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. It's called the book of the living here, and not be written with the righteous. Book of the living. That's interesting to call it that, not be written with the righteous. We know that these people who stand at the great white throne judgment, their name does not appear in the book of life. So, it appears that their names, I put there in the notes, their names were in the book. This testifies that unsaved people are written in the book of life, also referred to as the book of living here. Now let's go to Revelation 3:5. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. It's interesting here what the Lord is saying to these churches. He says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. White raiment, we know, is the righteousness of the saints from Revelation 19. The overcomer from 1 John chapter 3, we notice, chapter 2 it is. We notice that the chapter 5, I believe, in 1 John, we know that the overcomer is one that believes in Jesus Christ. In fact, for proof's sake, let's just go over there and read it. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So the overcomer here, he that overcometh, shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So it appears that his name was in the book before he became an overcomer. That's the context here. Same shall be clothed, and I will not blot out his name. That's an interesting verse. We'll put it all together here in a moment. So, names had to be there before saved. That's what's in the notes. The book of life, this verse shows that our names are written in the book of life, and if we believe in Christ, it will not be blotted out. That's what it says. Revelation 13:8. Now we notice something here that causes confusion for some. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who? The Antichrist. Whose names are not written in the book of life. Doesn't say that they weren't written there at one time, but they're not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're not written in the book of life. Title of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're not there. Well, that's throwing a wrench in everything you've said, Pastor. No, it isn't. Why are they not there? You go back to chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, you find out why. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Already pronounced judgment when you take the mark. If a person takes the mark, judgment is pronounced, so therefore the name is blotted out of the book of life. Because judgment's already pronounced for them. And when they take that mark, their name is blotted out of the book of life. Revelation, these verses in Revelation, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. When God says whosoever, he means whosoever. Romans 10:13. So these verses in Revelation reveal that when a person takes the mark, his name is blotted out. Now let's go to the final verse here in Revelation, verses in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, clearly an unbeliever, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So what is the conclusion to all this? His part would indicate that his name was in the book of life. So the conclusion is, comparing Scripture with Scripture, the only logical answer is that God wrote every person's name in the book of life who would ever live, the book of the living. He wrote every name. God desires every person to come to Christ. Yes, he does know who will be and who won't. He knows everything. But it would be contrary to God's desire to write some in and leave some out. It's his desire that all men be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. Not willing that any should perish. So when a person dies without Christ or receives the mark of the beast, his or her name is blotted out. John 8:23-24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." In Matthew 7:21-23, he said that not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we done great miracles and cast out devils?" And Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Never came to the truth of the gospel. And let's go finally to Romans chapter 3 and just look at this again. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Sometimes we miss that. Faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so, if we fail, the law declares all of us guilty of sin. And if we fail to trust Christ for forgiveness of our sin, we will have sinned against the Lord. We're dead to sins when we put our faith in Christ. And so our name will not be blotted out. But if we fail to put our faith in Christ, our name will be blotted out. And that is the context of Scripture. I challenge you to go back and look over those verses and take it in its context. And take the whole of Scripture. Being blotted out does not mean that some people can lose salvation. Not at all. The way to be blotted out is to fail to put your faith and trust in Christ. And you still remain in your sin. Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Sin against the Lord. Henry Morris, in his book on Revelation, he believes that at the time of conception, that the names are written in the book. Whenever a person is conceived, their name is in the book. And then the age of accountability for them is written in there. The date of their conversion is added. And the evidence confirming their conversion. That's what he thinks. I personally think that God, who is all-knowing, knew who would be conceived. And he wrote every name in the book before, from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. That's my view on it. And is it important? Yes, it is important, because how you believe on it, if you believe a certain way, you believe that man can lose his salvation. If you believe another way, that only the elect are in there, then you believe that God chooses some to be saved and some to be lost. And if you say, well, I don't agree with those two, but I believe in the foreknowledge of God. He knew who, and so he wrote who would be and who wouldn't be. Why would he do that when he wants all men to be saved? It's his desire for all to be saved, not willing that any should perish. I would think from my perspective, and I'm not God, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, but I would think from my perspective that I care enough to write everybody's name in there. I want them all to be saved, even Hitler, all of them. But when they die without Christ, it's blotted out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to think about the book of life, how important it is that our names be in that book of life when we depart from this life, that we have placed our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, and it will not be blotted out. We will receive a new body because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to see it, understand it, and be more faithful in serving you and thankful and praising you for this great salvation that we have. Set us free from our sin forever. We thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.